Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman and today bring you a very, very special show. Myself, Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard looking back at TalkSport 2's live and exclusive coverage of the Sri Lanka Tour in 2018. A truly magical time for all involved. TalkSport's first overseas cricket tour in 13 years. And in the 2 months that saw the TalkSport team traverse this magical island, we managed to fit in enough tales to last a similar amount of time. So, today we will let you in on some of them. A glimpse to what life was really like on the TalkSport team bus, the mishaps, the mistakes, as well as the fun and the games. Oh, and the mosquito bites. The focus will, of course, be on Joe Root's side as they thumped Sri Lanka 3-0. But the story on the pitch didn't come close to matching what went on off of it. You're listening to the Cricket Collective and a look back at England's 2018 tour of Sri Lanka. Well, thanks for listening to the show. This is the Cricket Collective and I'm John Norman, joined by Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard to look back at the topsy-turvy events of 2018, a two-month tour of Sri Lanka, taking in some seriously strange sights. There were some hiccups along the way. It was our first ever tour, so you can imagine there were a couple of errors along the way. But, boy, in the build-up to this show, we were going through off-air all the hilarious anecdotes, all the things that we got up to, and we could easily fill 3 or 4 hours. We won't do that. We'll just keep it to two. We're just going to concentrate cricket-wise in terms of the action on the three tests. That was the point that Sam Ellard joined us. But myself and Gareth Batty were there from the start. And Bats, let's just begin with what it was like, really. You know, we arrived together pretty much. We'd made the decision. I don't know why I say we, it was me, that we'd tour around on a team bus. So I imagine when you signed up to this tour, and I imagine the listeners, when they're thinking about a cricket tour professionally done, you'd think of limos, you'd think of top hotels, the best food, you know, silver service. It didn't really go quite like that, did it?
No, it didn't. But I think that's what made it so brilliant for us, that it wasn't just going around five-star hotel after five-star hotel, limo to limo, that all looked the same. We had the crazy van, which was pretty much the only constant. But we were going from different parts of a beautiful country by road and stopping off at sort of shacks at the side of the road and being introduced to all different snakes, lizards, you name it, and all sorts of different foods. It was almost like in between games, backpacking around Sri Lanka. And then getting to the games, the cricket was magnificent, apart from a bit of rain at the start. But I thought it was a trip I'll never forget. It was brilliant. I think the off-air experiences as well as on-air were absolutely brilliant. They really were.
It was hilarious. Well, look, we'll talk about the snakes. Sam, we're going to talk about the bull, the amorous bull, and how you nearly came a cropper in a tuk-tuk thanks to a cow fleeing the attentions. I mean, what was your thoughts? You pitched up halfway through, didn't you? I mean, was it like
I suppose some people think of these tours as like a stag do, but I think Bats was right. It was more like we're all stopping off at youth hostels and backpacking around Sri Lanka. How did we appear to you when you turned up?
My accommodation was nowhere near as nice as hostels, I promise you. I wish I stayed in the hostel at some of the times. I think the way you put it at the beginning sums up pretty well. I thought I'd be flying out first class. I thought I'd have everything laid on for me, and that just didn't happen whatsoever. It was behind the scenes, I think, at times unorganised, wasn't it? What I loved most was whatever we had to do, whether it was day one of a test match, whether it was drive time shows, hits into shows, we always managed to do it. We broadcasted from some incredible places on a train. We could literally be anywhere in the country and we were able to broadcast. But yeah, I mean, the accommodations were interesting, weren't they? They certainly got better as the tours went on to the West Indies, to South Africa. But I think as Bat says, on the pitch, we saw some great cricket. We saw England winning the subcontinent, but off the pitch, some memories I'm going to cherish forever.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, look, I tell you what, before we get going on the test tour, we've got to start with the anecdote of all anecdotes. The presiding memory, it was, you know, they say in cricket, you always laugh when someone gets hit in the you know where. Well, nobody was laughing when Macca came a cropper on the outfield. And he wasn't hit in the nether regions. Bats, I'm not sure if you were standing with us, but it was during England training, Adil Rashid was facing in these kind of makeshift nets on the outfield at Dambulla. And we were kind of standing at, he's a right-handed batsman, isn't he? So we were standing at about mid off. Myself, Jared, you, and Macca, maybe Adam Reed as well, our tech ops sound engineer god. And Adil Rashid kind of miscued a lofted drive. It went up into the air. Now, up until this point, quite a few cricket balls are coming out general direction. And Macca had been very, very keen to field them. The long barrier was out. He was dashing around in his shorts. You know, he was hurling it in on the bounce. And then one was skied into the air. And in the second it took for myself, Jared, who'd already dropped one, and Adam, and yourself probably, to think, I'm not even going to attempt catching that. Macca was off. He dashed to the left and the ball was in the air and Macca put his arms out and it was always going to be a tough one. Coming down over his shoulders, we always know these are the tough ones to catch. And I couldn't hear the sound the ball made when it hit the top of his finger. Jared could. He said it sounded like a pop. I saw it and immediately turned away, and it wasn't pretty, was it? I'm not sure what was redder, Macca's bloodied fingers or his face when he came back to the group.
It was the fact that he'd run 20 yards. And I remember thinking, I'd taken my flip-flops off, so I'm stood on the outfield just in bare feet. We were chilling, really, with a bit of sun, thinking, this is great. We're watching England train before a day's play tomorrow. And he ran 20 yards. It was like the ending of some kind of a sporting movie where it's like everything's in slow motion. It's like, oh, and then he's going to catch it. As his hand goes up, I started cringing. He was in an awful position. He was off balance. He did well not to break his leg as well as his finger. And as he's going for the catch, he's almost going like this at the ball, trying to almost poke it. And it was like dropping a tomato on a concrete floor. It just went... And it was like, wow. And we didn't know whether to laugh or cry because it was just one of those things. You know, he's hurt and his pride was hurting like hell as well.
Yeah.
And the England boys were sort of like, do we laugh? Do we sort of get the physio over, whatever? It was just one of those moments. And I think, you know, 10 minutes later when we knew it was nothing too serious and everybody had a little chuckle about it, didn't they?
Do you know what? I wasn't there for it, but I've been on tour with Macca. And he takes the England training very seriously. Now, of course, it's part of his job, as it's all the journalists to be across everything. But if an England training session starts at 9 o'clock, Macca wants to be there at 6:30 in the morning. He wants to be there 2.5 hours early to make sure he misses nothing, right? Now, without a doubt, me and Macca were always the first two guys at England training, okay? Always. We were there for the England team, we were there sometimes.
Yeah, but you were there to get the bacon butties first.
I was there for the coffee and the bacon roll. But the thing with Macca, he always positioned himself. in a position where he thought the ball was coming. Most people were there, as you said, relaxing, watching. But Macca always had to be behind something or in front of something. And I think deep down, he would have loved the fact that he got everyone's attention. He would have loved the fact that he was, I think so. You say there, John.
No way.
No, I disagree. He was red embarrassment. He loved getting involved. He would have loved to have been with all the England players, but he took training very, very seriously. Long barriers out. Every ball that came into him, he would field it well. He made sure the throw was perfect. A little wave to the players. Really, really funny.
Okay. What about the accommodation, Bats? Can you remember that first accommodation in Dambulla? The warning signs should have been ringing out there. Have the mosquito bites, have your legs recovered yet?
I was one of the fortunate ones. I probably averaged about 50 bites a day. But poor Reedy, it looked like he had chicken pox at one point. It was horrific. And we had this, in retrospect, it was actually brilliant because you kind of came to the frontage of this very overgrown with beautiful green, lush surroundings, frontage of a hotel, which I would probably now describe more like a guest house, maybe at best. And then it was all open plan at the back where you eat. And then this beautiful pool with sort of a bar that was, I don't know, you'd call like a ramshackle sort of a bar. And then some accommodation at the end. There was probably about 8 rooms at the end. And we were all in there. So we would meet at the bar and have a drink, then go down for evening meals and what have you. But getting to and from accommodation to food, wow. If it wasn't the snakes getting you, or a cockroach in your bedroom, the blooming mosquitoes were getting you, or whatever the heck it was getting you. But it added to the beauty of it. We were sort of 2 or 3 kilometres away from the ground, and we ended up running to the posh hotel down the road to go to the gym, and we ended up running to the grounds. And then we'd spend a lot of time in the swimming pool just talking about cricket and how we thought we would do some coverage. And I was learning the whole time. I was a complete novice on the trip. So being able to have time with Gerard and Manners and yourselves, it was, in hindsight, it couldn't have been a better call it nursery ground for me to try and learn a few bits. But yeah, I must admit, I'm not missing the bites. And
Bats, as someone that's been on an England cricket tour before, what, 4 years before that Sri Lanka one, or even less than that, was it 2 years even? So 2 years ago, you were touring India with England. I imagine everything was done for you: accommodation, flights, nice hotels. Was there not one tiny bit of you that thought, "What am I doing here with these lot?" Come on, be honest, Bats.
No,
come on,
genuine. I'll tell you for why, because it was, I knew most of the people from being down in the dungeons at TalkSport doing certain work off screen and meeting people. I knew that we were a bunch of good people, and we were hoping we could all pull it together and give a brilliant broadcast. So I knew that actually everybody's intentions were right. So it was just kind of, look, we're all, we get the odd thing wrong, and maybe not sleeping a couple of nights because you were worried about what was creeping around in your bed and whether you were going to wake up in the morning. It was actually, I think it was a brilliant experience, and it made me try and learn more about what we were trying to do, and hopefully that came across in decent commentary and everything. And not to mention, we did rename the little shack of a bar to Batty's Bar by the end of it, which you didn't to find out about.
Absolutely. Brilliant stuff. Well, look, you're listening to the Cricket Collective. This is a watch along, a look back at the Sri Lanka tour in 2018 with two of the biggest characters on the tour, on the team bus, Sam Ellard and Gareth Batty. We will be talking about cricket. We're going to be fast forwarding to Gore. And I would say, without doubt, the most stressful day of my professional career. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Side, there's appeal for a catch. Up goes the finger. He's gone. Burns has been burgled down the leg side. First delivery. Off stump out of the ground. Marley just reacting a little too late. Down the wicket, bowled him. Hiraath has his 100th wicket at Gore.
Bowled him. I always thought that you need to be careful with that cut shot. Dilruan Pereira is different to Dhananjaya.
Stokes goes on the sweep and he's missed it. Bold leg stump. He smacks his bat into the floor in absolute disgust.
Bradley goes back again. He's beaten outside off stump. He's done. an outside edge. The bowler wins the contest.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. Thanks for joining us or subscribing or downloading on Acast, iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, looking back at the events of the Test Tour in Sri Lanka in 2018, Sam Ellard and the former England spinner, the Surrey man, Gareth Batty. Let's fast forward. We've had a little look at the ODI side of things. The poor accommodation will rear its head again at some stage. But let's fast forward. Let's cut out the rain and the 15 overs that we had in Dambulla and that first ODI. Let's get to Gore. Sam, you'd arrived by this point. Matt Prior had replaced Mark Butcher. And we arrived in Gore to realise that not for the first time, people involved in Sri Lankan hospitality, tourism and cricket have never heard the old adage, under promise and over deliver. It was quite the opposite, wasn't it? There was a plenty of promises, but not much deliverance. And so we found ourselves less than 24 hours before that first test match, essentially with a tent or a gazebo that would blow away on Southwold Beach, with threats of either lightning, torrential rain, or 40 degree heat. And we were supposed to broadcast on top of a roof in a tent. I don't think I've ever been more stressed, but I'm sure the professional that I am, that stress was not apparent to anybody else.
I've got to say, John, I've known you now for a few years. I think you're comfortably one of the most laid-back people I've ever met in my life, apart from the day before that first test match. It was crazy. I was, 22 years of age on my first cricket tour, and we didn't have a commentary box. And, obviously, it was a massive deal for TalkSport. There'd been a lot of stuff in on social media and the press about TalkSport finally getting, the rights back. I know that, if we're being honest, we received a lot of criticism from people that, if it wasn't on TMS, there was, cricket's finished. And it just, I think, added to everything, didn't it? The pressure, not having a commentary box, that rain could ruin our broadcast, the heat could ruin our broadcast. And I remember just personally feeling completely useless, because I don't think there was a great deal that any of us could do about it. We were on the roof. We had sort of a little marquee. And then it was just about, let's hope it didn't rain, right? And I remember at one point, I was just standing up there, like taking loads of pictures of stuff. And I think someone said to me, just stop taking pictures, Sam. No matter how many pictures you take, it's not going to help anything. And I just remember it being, it was absolute mayhem, wasn't it? It was mayhem. But it then ended up being fantastic because it all worked out fine. And we had an unbelievable view, didn't we? We were right at the top of everything, top of the stadium. And they'd be right behind the wicket. And the view was fantastic.
Oh, it was amazing. And what added to the excitement, Bats, was, look, Matty turned up. He didn't know the team. We'd never even met, I don't think, in England. And he was right in it, wasn't he? You and Matt, you had your Surrey connections. He's still great friends with certain members of the side. And there was all this talk about who was going to be wicketkeeper. Perfect. I mean, this is all in the editorial decision making, of course. But Absolutely. Who better to have to talk about Ben Folkes coming in as wicketkeeper than his colleague, and of course a former wicketkeeper himself. But there was another guy who went on to make his debut as well. Surrey opener Rory Burns. I mean, by this point you'd been on the tour for a month. You knew what you were doing. You must have been able to, in part, just sit back and enjoy watching these two guys, your mates, go out there and represent England alongside, of course, Sam Curran.
Yeah, I think the only bit I would disagree with there was that I knew what I was doing. I think I'm not sure about that, and I'm pretty sure I still don't.
But you're too modern. You are unbelievable. What's all this about? I didn't know what I'm going to say this now early on in this broadcast, Bats. Your attention to detail as a broadcaster is second to none. You were star of the show, mate, and it was so great that the whole of the United Kingdom could hear Gareth Batty reporting on national radio on live cricket, because everyone knew and everyone heard just how good we knew you were, mate.
Attention to detail here. We swap places, me and you, Sam. You're sharp as a tack. I look like Rumpelstiltskin. No, I mean, look, the beauty of it was that yes, I had genuine close friends out there, one making debuts and two, Sammy, at the start of his career and seeing him from a young lad. I mean, I'm quite a passionate guy and I hope that comes across, one, to my friends, but two, in how I talk about the game, because I think the game requires a bit of passion from time to time. And there was a couple of times I thought I was waiting for that tap on the shoulder from you, John, where I got a bit carried away and I'm sort of looking round as I've done something, as I've jumped out of my seat and gone, yes, or whatever. Because let's be honest, it's supposed to be impartial, but I suppose I couldn't be at those points. And I don't really apologise for it. I hope it came across okay for the listeners. But, you know, friends and England, you want them to do well and you want England to win. And it was just, yeah, I got a bit carried away and taking the emotion out of it was something I couldn't do, if I'm honest.
Well, let's have a little listen back, because it was actually Sri Lanka who got on top early. England were 105 for 5 at one stage until the two Surrey guys got together, Ben Foulkes and Sam Curran, with a rebuilding job.
Right, it's Dilruan Pereira to bowl the first delivery, and it's driven absolutely beautifully by Ben Foulkes through extra cover for 4. What a shot!
Down goes Curran. Lovely, wonderful timing. Matching the free swing of the bat that hit the 6 earlier. This one disappears over wide mid-on as if he's a child stealing candy from another.
Foulkes does lash it onto the leg side. He pulls it away. Backward a square. Goes away for 4! Ben Foulkes is 99 not out on Test match debut.
So that's Ben Foulkes and Sam Curran rebuilding and getting England into a position where they could, of course, set a decent first innings total. But Bats, as Foulkes was moving towards the century, you know, we got you back on air. We were filming, you know, the moment. We're on top of the building, essentially in a tent. Indian Ocean to the right of us, the fort over the way. One of the most amazing cricket grounds in the world. And then Ben Foulkes is approaching that milestone. Put it into words, what that was like. And then, of course, the moment when it happened.
I think it was the way he'd gone about his innings, the way he'd shored things up. I think in the commentary box, we'd said early on that the surface would be a bit tacky initially and it would spin and bounce. And as the day went on, it would get better for batting. And there were a lot of people criticising England on how they played that first session, but actually it was the difference between them winning and losing, probably, because they were positive when the pitch was probably its hardest to bat. And they made it harder for Sri Lanka, knowing that Foulkes could potentially play the way that he did with Stokes. It was a great partnership. And then Sammy had a little bit of a cameo as well, I think, from memory. But it was the way and the composure in which he went about his business. He did what he had been doing for a good couple of years at Surrey. And it was probably that summer that he'd really come of age as a player and really cemented his game plan and how he would accumulate and score his runs. It's just great to see somebody that put all the work in, put all the time in, actually coming through and getting to that point. So there's an added bit of emotion because you've seen all the other stuff. It's not just the runs that are in the newspaper or TV or radio, whatever, you know, it's all the hard work and you know how hard and what he'd done. And I suppose a culmination of having Kumar Sangakkara with us for a couple of years had helped him on how you would go about spin and tactically. And oh, I mean, it was just quite frighteningly good how he got to his 100 as well. I think it was a sort of a back foot punch to a ball that was a good length through mid on. I mean, that's one of the best shots ever you will see and ever to get to your maiden 100. So, I mean, it was just one of those things that was sort of a script you would wish to write and far more eloquent than I can put it across.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being in on the fort when it happened. The atmosphere, Gaul was full of England fans. It was a brilliant atmosphere. It was a beautiful couple of days. And I think the atmosphere, the roar when he got to that 100 was a special moment. But Bats, you mentioned there the hard work that he put in over many years. Having seen him develop and improve at Surrey, did you always believe that he had the ability as well as a batsman in particular to succeed in Test cricket?
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's make no bones about it. We sort of snatched him from Essex at Surrey. And I would hope that he feels that he's a Surrey man like I do now. You know, maybe not born and bred. What a talent. We played against him just as a batsman. He wasn't keeping wicket at the time. It was Foster that was the man with the gloves. And Stewie had seen him keep as well. So the package for us was a no-brainer. And he didn't start with the gloves straight away at Surrey. He had to earn that right. Gary Wilson had a very good year the year before. And he had to take those gloves off him with weight of runs as well as keeping up his keeping. I think most people would recognise for the last two or three years he's been the best gloveman in the country, if not longer. He's fantastic behind the stumps. But we all know Adam Gilchrist changed the face to wicket-keeping. You've got to get your runs now. And that was the thing. It was volume of runs and getting them at the right time that he was looking for. And as I say, that summer, he really, from a guesstimate, I think he probably got about 750 runs at give or take 45, 50 average. And batting at 6, 7, 8, you can only get the volume of runs that your team allows you to. Because if you don't bat lots of times, you're not going to get the 1,000 runs. And he played some really good innings for us and been, you know, sort of the spine of the team from a batting point of view, as well as his keeping. But yeah, you don't see the whole having to add things to your game. Yes, you can be naturally very gifted, but then putting that all together as a package to consistently score your runs, to consistently have a process to scoring the runs. Anybody can go out and smack a few and play well and get the 100, but to consistently do that, there has to be a process, there has to be a method. And over a good 2 or 3 years, he worked very, very hard to get to that process and method. And I made 100 on debut. I mean, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Well, let's hear how it sounded on TalkSport 2.
Lakmal is on his way. Reaches umpire Gaffney and bowls. Folks,
yes!
That's on the back foot! The bowler! It goes on the onside. They take one. Is it going to go all the way? It just gets to the advertising rope at the far end. And Ben Folks has 100 on debut. He takes his helmet off, raises bat and helmet to the sky and goes to meet James Anderson in the middle of the pitch and now holds his bat up and shows it to all parts of the ground. Folks on debut from 200 balls is 103 not out. England 338 for 9.
That is amazing. I'd say it'll probably sink in the next couple of days when I can kind of reflect on it, because it's just been a whirlwind and just all happened at once. But it's what I've dreamed of as a kid, and it's amazing to have happened.
That was Ben Folks reaching 100 on debut on TalkSport 2. And you're listening to TalkSport 2. This is the Cricket Collective with myself, John Norman, Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard. A watch-along of England's tour of Sri Lanka in 2018.
Goes in and bowls once again. Oh, the ball busted to mid-wicket! And Matthews has gone! He was looking to stay deep in the crease, turn it on the onside, but he's got his angles wrong, and he's just bunted it straight to mid-wicket. And England, well, it feels like they're counting down the moments now. That's a huge wicket.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Myself, John Norman, Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard looking back at England's tour of Sri Lanka in 2018, which was broadcast live and exclusively on TalkSport 2. Right, we are in Gore. We're still broadcasting. We haven't been flooded out. We haven't been electrocuted and we haven't been drowned. We haven't fallen off the top of the building. We're still going. Sri Lanka, though, bit of a problem. There was a huge story in the build-up to this series. Angelo Matthews, their star all-rounder, the former captain, he'd been binned from the ODI side. There was lots of whispers about why, but he was back in the test side, just as batsman, though. He wasn't captaining. And the makeup of the England team was always going to be interesting. Three spinners they went with in Jack Leach, Moeen Ali and Adil Rashid. And it was Moeen Ali who actually ended the series top wicket taker, joint top wicket taker, I think. His first forfer, how quickly things have turned for him. But it was Sri Lanka who lost early wickets. So let's hear how that sounded on TalkSport 2.
Driven on the air and caught at short cover. Tremendous piece of captaincy field setting bowling. Drew De Quella into the drive.
Oh,
it's a good delivery, and he's got the edge, and he's got wicket number 8. What a catch from Ben Stokes.
Come on, Adil Rashid, you're better than that. 239 for 8 here. England eager to finish the
yes,
top.
Adil Rashid.
Lovely bit of spin bowling.
Lakmal Wait, slightly open stance. He has a go at that. It lobs up in the air. The innings is over.
So Sri Lanka bowled out and England with a first innings lead. And the conversation now turned, guys, to Keaton Jennings. Can you remember? It was all about his use of the reverse sweep. Traditionally, it's seen as quite a risky shot. But Jared, in Jared's role, was actually of the opinion that he plays it so well, it's actually quite a risk-free shot. And so it proved as he moved towards 100 and did so with quite a lot of style.
Yes, he was under a huge amount of pressure. There were a lot of people talking about his method and how he would go about things. He came with a big rap of being a good player of spin. And I think it's a message for everybody out there that plays club cricket on a weekend that actually it doesn't matter what your method is as long as it works for you. And I think it showed with Jared's research about the reverse sweep and how well he played it. You've got to trust that. And sometimes that is your best form of defence, to go to something that is the easiest thing for you to play and the easiest way to go about it. Yes, you have to pick the right ball, so on and so forth. But generally, if it's your best skill, your outcome is generally where you want it to be. And I think it was very brave from Jennings. I remember early on in his innings, he went to it very early. I think Sri Lanka opened with spin. And I think he put the spinners under pressure very, very early with the reverse sweep, which then made it easier for him. So sometimes you have to take a calculated risk. And I think he did so. I kept the odds in his favour and played quite brilliantly and set the game up for England.
Well, let's hear the moment that Keaton Jennings reached 100 on TalkSport 2.
Dhananjaya da Silva around the wicket to Keaton Jennings. He pulls it. Yeah, a bit short. Turns around the corner and it goes to that fielder who wasn't saving the single. Keaton Jennings gets the one he needs to backward square leg. Keaton Jennings has a second Test match 100. Removes the helmet, waves the bat at the dressing room and now shows it to all parts of the Gaul International Cricket Stadium. Keaton Jennings reaches three figures, walks down, has a hug with Jos Buttler. He's made it for the second time in his career and England are in a great position and Keaton Jennings can enjoy this moment.
It's been an unbelievable day for myself. I suppose feeling that pinch coming into a test match. But just really pleased to I suppose, drive us into a position where hopefully we can go and win the test match.
Keaton Jennings speaking to the TalkSport 2 team. Sam Ellard, by this point, you were a few days into your new role, weren't you? And started to make friends with the Barmy Army. Give us an idea about how that was going.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was the first time I watched England on tour, and passionate, hardcore fans who want to go and watch cricket, have a good time, have a few pints, make new songs. I mean, I think Ben Folkes, we mentioned him earlier, he scored 100 on debut. And then later that evening, they'd really come up with a new song for him. They packed out Gaul Fort. I think me and Bats, we went around a couple of times, didn't we? And did some social media stuff. I think we interviewed Ben's brother and mum, I think, as well. The morning after he got 100, that's when I stopped play. Do you remember, Bats, by the way, how I... Because this is, on the three cricket tours that I've done, the thing that gets reminded to me the most is how I stopped play. Do you remember what happened, Bats? I was actually with you when it happened.
Are you kidding me? Do I remember? You absolute idiot. Of course I remember.
Yeah, it was so Ben Folkes got the 100 on debut and the
I'll
morning
stop
after...
You just, I nearly wet myself as you were doing it. I let you do it. I nearly wet myself.
How can you let me do it? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So for those that don't know, it's in the TalkSport book, by the way, the 20 years of TalkSport book. Ben Folkes got 100 on debut the morning after. We'd arranged to interview his mum and brother, but we didn't know where they were. So Ollie Pope was 12th man. So we went down to the side of the pitch and him and Stuart Broad were sat under our umbrellas. We ended up getting chatting to them. You were talking to them. I was just sat there enjoying it. I mean, I'm next to Stuart Broad and Ollie Pope during a test match. And we were there for quite a while. And as I got up, I'd obviously just lost my bearings. I didn't know where I was. Because we were there for a long time. And I just remember walking and I just remember shouting, "Hey!" And I look around and people are pointing at me. And I think to myself, you've got to be joking me. And then I turn around the other way and Jos Buttler has his arm in the air and he's waving and shouting. And I look to my right and Stuart Broad is just shaking his head like, "What are you doing, mate?" And then I think to myself, I might get away with this because we're right up top, aren't we, on the roof? And I thought, maybe no one's seen that it's me. And of course, Bats goes straight up and tells everyone on air what's happened. And I think, thanks a lot, Bats. But yeah, 3 days into my cricket test career, my debut, I managed to stop play at an England test match, which was, looking back at it now, it was fun. But at the time, it was very embarrassing.
Hey, two blokes got 100 in the game. England won the game. And people are still talking about you over everything else.
The other thing was, that was Harath's final test match.
Yeah.
Nobody was interested. It was more about that.
Yeah, it was about Ben Foulkes and Sam Ellard. But thanks for stopping me, Bats.
Actually, you've reminded me of another really crazy moment in that test match, which I completely forgot about. But can you remember Keaton Jennings was batting and Harrath came on to bowl for what was going to be like his final test? And from the moment the ball left the bowler's hand, they just fired off all these rockets.
There's a chant coming from the schoolboys. Harrath, Harrath. Here come the fireworks. He comes into the attack for the first time. Will he create fireworks? That's the question.
Is that for real? We've got fireworks before a bowler comes
up. Of course. This is Sri Lanka where things are different and exciting. And now that the brass section plays up a tune to welcome Rangana Harrath into the attack in his final test match to bowl Keaton Jennings. In he comes, he drifts the ball away from the bat and a huge firework thunders into the morning sky that says g'day to Keaton Jennings.
What is going on? This is a benefit match.
Yeah, was that quite an underwhelming experience, wasn't it? Poor Harrath not getting the best end off ever, isn't it? He's just flanking a legend.
I never understand players retiring midway through a series. It's a particularly Sri Lankan thing. It's like they want to go out in their own home ground. But it's like there's still another two tests.
You play one test match, you get a beat, and he's off. He's had nothing.
Weird. The bizarre thing is the most shy retiring man you'll ever meet. Really nice fella. He didn't want all the big razzmatazz and everything.
Yeah, quite a send-off.
It was. So Sri Lanka are bowled out. Jennings gets the 100 and England's way ahead. Sri Lanka facing an impossible task. I think they made 50-odd without losing a wicket. And then Moeen Ali, another 4 wickets. That was 8 for the match. England win by 211 runs. And let's hear how that sounded on TalkSport 2.
Oh, he's out. Has he run out? Maybe. This is really tight. Yes, it's out. It is out. Rangana Harrath run out by Ben Stokes' throw and Ben Foulkes' completion of the moment. And that means that Ben Foulkes, in his first test match, who made that superb 100, who's kept wickets so tidily, has executed the final act of the match. What a performance.
So England go 1-0 up on TalkSport 2, beating Sri Lanka by 211 runs inside 4 days. I can't remember how we celebrated. Your wife and your little one were out there in Gaul by this point, weren't they? My folks had come out, my son and my wife, but they'd all gone by this point. Sam, what did we get up to? I can't even remember.
I remember we had a couple of glasses of champagne, was it, on the roof? After the test match, which I think was very nice. And then, to be honest, Sean, you were probably tucked up in bed by 9 o'clock and me and the boys were out and about in Gaul having a good night, you know?
So that was Gaul done. And what a spot it is too. The next stop was Kandy, the second test match and scene of Gareth Batty going viral on social media after encountering the snake outside the ground. Can you remember?
Do I? I still have nightmares about that. It was about 20 foot long and really, it was massive. It was like one of those big ropes, you know, people do the whole new gym thing. It was a massive thing. And the little Sri Lankan fellas were taking the mick out of me. They'd hustled it into a corner and they're like, come on over.
It wasn't just the Sri Lankan fellas, mate.
They were like throwing sticks at me and socks at me. I was like panicking. And some of the bits off that we didn't fully get on the camera were that they were getting me closer to it and showing me it. And they're like, oh, it's in there. And you could just see a little bit. And then they'd scare me off. And I was like, this is ridiculous. They were trying to get me bitten, these little sods. I were panicking like heck. It was a hell of an experience, though. And then to boot, they caught it and they put it in this massive sack. And literally, you had the road where you drive into at the back of the stadium, a bit of grass, maybe a metre long, a river, and they just chucked it on the grass. So it was only a metre further away from us than it started. I was like, what are you doing? And the fellow was like just going, it'll go into the river and go up into this bit. I was like, yeah, of course it will. Our commentary box is only there, pal.
Well, let's hear how that sounded on social media.
What's that? Whoa! You lads are having a laugh, are you? Hey, what's that all about? Let's get it out of me. Hey! What's going on? Hey, whoa!
So that was Gareth Batty showing the world just how brave he is when encountering a snake the size of a small worm. in fairness, though, I talked about getting stressed in Gaul. I had another stressful moment in Candy, but you'll hear about that very shortly. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Here comes Dilruan, attacks down the wicket, and has it gone all the way? He's going to check. But what Root did very well was it's six. He's just confirmed, umpire Ravi confirmed it's six. He went down the wicket and hit it with the turn.
Down the pitch he comes. Oh, that's countering it, and it's six. What about that for a strike? Hit it hard and flat like an Exocet missile. What's more, it's got into 90.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman, alongside Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard, looking back at England's tour of Sri Lanka and some of the tales from touring life. 6-hour bus journey. Can you remember it, guys? We all had to put together our song lists. We all listened to each other's music. There was a lot of Justin Timberlake from Sam. There was some Too Cool for School tunes from myself and Baby Snake. No, but not Baby Snake. Baby Shark. Baby Shark from Bats.
Sam had a bit of S Club 7 as well, didn't
you? I just remember that bus journey. I got grilled for 6 hours. Firstly, I got stick for my music. There was a bit of Bieber in there, a bit of Nicki Minaj, a bit of Rihanna. You know, I'm 22 years of age. I'm down with the kids. You boys listen to old rubbish music. I had the tunes on, and I remember, I think just for 6 hours, I got torn to pieces by everyone. Even Andrew McKenna was giving me stick. You know, it's bad when Mac is giving you stick, but it was like, I didn't know. Do you remember the famous, I'll ask you boys, what's the biggest animal in the world?
It's a blue whale.
It's a blue whale. Jared asked me that question and I said giraffe. I didn't think it was the worst answer in the world. But oh my God, you boys didn't let it go, did you? Oh, didn't know what a blue whale is. It's unbelievable. I got taken to pieces.
Well, look, you also got Gandhi and the street artist Banksy mixed up as well. But we won't mention that, OK? So anyway, we rock up in Candy. The team's split. You got the former pros in the good hotel. And in fairness, the Airbnb, which I had come and seen in September before the tour, been shown around, would have been absolutely perfect for our needs. But after 6 hours and arriving in Candy, which is a beautiful place, it's almost like a small town inside a jungle, situated around a lake, with baboons and monitor lizards and eagles, and I mean it's sumptuous. But we arrived slap bang in the middle of rush hour traffic to find that the accommodation that I had seen now didn't exist, and at the 11th hour we had to find new digs. I talked about getting stressed in Gaul. I also got slightly stressed at the hotelier when I realised that he'd ripped us off. Anyway, we're at the ground. Bats has survived a snake attack. I'd woken up on the morning of the first day with the aircon in our new digs leaking on my head. And we were all set. All set for the second test match. And Johnny Bairstow, who missed the first test match, has not been selected for the second one because, of course, Ben Foulkes had come in and got man of the match and a century. So once again, England won the toss, decided to bat, and once again lost early wickets, and once again had Sam Curran to thank, alongside Jos Buttler, as the two put on a decent partnership to get England up to a defendable first inning score.
Pereira again bowls down the wicket, he comes, takes it on the full and hits it through mid-wicket. Matthews slips and it's four. Here comes Pushpakumara, bowls to Butler, on the back foot and punching it through extra cover. Well, that's another boundary.
Here's Pereira, he bowls again now. And doesn't matter who is in the field because there's no stopping that wonderful back foot stroke.
So England posted 290 in first innings. And bats, this is, again, where the spin attack that England possessed in 2018, whilst not as strong as the one they possessed in 2011-12 when they beat India in India, but the likes of Jack Leach and Adil Rashid and, of course, Moeen Ali really came to the fore in this test match as they did for the entire series.
Yeah, I think, and I remember speaking at the time, the thought that had gone into the attack with having a left-arm spinner in Leach, with having an attacking off-spinner in Moeen, and with having an attacking leg spinner, struck googly bowler in Rashid, was a beautiful balance. And it was kind of, over the three test matches, how it evolved, who took centre stage and who'd taken all the wickets. But as a collective, the way they bowled, it was generally Leach that was throwing the ball first to try and hold the game. Then once there was a breakthrough, then Mo would come on to try and take more wickets, or Rash. Rash would definitely be the one that would be bowling more at the tail because of his googly, trying to drag them wide and then hit them on the pad. And they all had their day in the sun, as it were. They all had good performances in the outcome of wickets and so on and so forth. But as a collective, as a three, it was absolutely magnificent. It was almost like the Australian great team of the early 2000s, where you had McGrath, you had Brett Lee and you had Gillespie. They just complemented each other beautifully. And England went about that and planned it. It was definitely planned that way. The whole way through that series, it was very, very impressive how they planned that three-prong attack that was going to do the majority of the work.
Meanwhile, Sam, you'd taken it upon yourself to start recording interviews with some of the Barmy Army. And one of the guys that you met had an interesting tale, hadn't it, that went viral. Do you want to explain? Or let's listen to the guy's tale.
Before the Gold Test, I went out to Unawatuna Beach for a beach party with the Barmy Army. Come out at 2 o'clock, a little bit wobbly, I'd say.
just a little bit.
Yeah, well, a lot. tuk-tuk driver approached me, charging miles too much. I thought I'd just walk up the road and get a cheaper one. Unfortunately, I came to a dark spot. There was no street lighting. Walked straight into a storm drain, up to my neck in dirt. It was pouring rain, dirty, filthy water in my mouth, my ear. I've thrown my clothes away. It was disgusting. But unfortunately,
have a look at that.
Bit of a war wound for the cause.
Unbelievable. Okay. That, yeah. But you managed to get yourself home. But look, it's
Ranga. I was still there, which brought a bit of a in my throat and a tear at the eye. I was there at 10 o'clock for Jerusalem for the first over. Yeah. Then, with me hardly being able to walk and me arm throbbing like mad, but I got there. I made sure I got there on that first day.
And having fun though in Sri Lanka, it's a brilliant day. A few beers today?
I'll tell you what, I will do it. This afternoon, I had a heavy night again last night, but I didn't fall down any storm drain. As you can tell by my throat, usually people who go out partying and all that usually got sore throats and things like that. So, I definitely am. And the cricket's been fabulous. Yeah. And we've been lucky with the weather as well.
So that was your job there, Sam. How did you find that guy?
just to be honest, potluck. I mean, I interviewed about, 10, 15 England fans who, had a few drinks and all that. But this guy had a few drinks, ended up in a ditch. And the best bit was, I saw him the next day. And he said to me, "Oh, mate, people are coming up to me now, recognising me in bars and everything." The video went everywhere and got, like, I think, 35,000 views on Twitter. But I love doing that. Just walking around and talking to England supporters who had some brilliant stories and had been all over the world. But yeah, there was a few England fans that, yeah, come into the day, had a few too many pints in the sun.
So back to the cricket, and despite some pretty good bowling, it was Sri Lanka who had the 50-run lead on first innings, and then up stepped Joe Root, a century along with a 50 again from Ben Folkes to really take the impetus away from Sri Lanka. And, you know, for a guy that does get criticised a lot, just showing a little bit of class there, Bats.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of, when he finishes, and let's hope he doesn't finish for a long time, he'll go down as one of England's greats. And at the start of his career, he'd been so brilliant. And it's the poison chalice of being England Test captain. People just criticise more and more and more. But the way that he played and accumulated, put the Sri Lankans under pressure was just absolutely beautiful. It was masterful, the way he just dissected their attack. And by the, I suppose by the point he'd got to the 100, they were looking around the field, who can we bowl now? He's just, he's taken everybody apart. We've got no control. And it actually married up quite nicely with how Folkes had then played. It was just sublime stuff from England's captain. And he probably doesn't and didn't get the recognition that he required for that second test match. Was a big point in the series, and the way that he played and stepped up definitely gets England to the position they end up after three test matches.
And he's given that a good hit, really good hit. In fact, it's an even better than good hit. Incredible shot. What a way to go to 50. Ben Folkes to the man of all.
A sweep and a power sweep, and he's beaten mid-wicket and he's got 50. Rory Burns take a bow, but only a small one, because there's a lot of work to be done. That's a terrific half century from Rory Burns. 52 from 61 deliveries.
Here's Luckmal again, charging in, he bowls, and Root goes back and he edges the ball to the third man boundary. Little leap in the air, a big punch of the right arm and fist, with England gunning to win the second test. The captain has made a splendid 100.
So that was Ben Folkes with another 50, a maiden test 50 for Rory Burns as well. And of course, that century for Joe Root. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
He bowled him. First ball with the new ball. And he's gone through Jimmy Anderson's defence. And that's clattered into the off stump. Anderson goes. Bowled to Ruan Pereira for 12. Ben Folkes is left unbeaten on 65. And there's a beautiful symmetry to England's total of 346. It's a lead of exactly 300. Sri Lanka will need 301 for an unlikely victory.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Gareth Batty and Sam Mellard, looking back at England's tour of Sri Lanka, which was live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 back in 2018. So, Sri Lanka now set 301. And they lose three quick wickets. And it's Jack Leach who took each and every one of them.
Leach bowls a beauty! Stumping! What about that bit of cricket? Floated it up there and spun it. Drew Kushal Silva out of his ground and Ben Folkes destructed the wicket. Jack Leach, who turns to face us and bowls again now down the leg side. He's caught it. At short leg, Keaton Jennings has pulled off one of the great catches, and I do not exaggerate. LBW call, LBW, oh, they're really asking with passion.
Wickets hitting, three reds. Rather, I'm going to recommend you change your position to out. You're on screen now.
So England absolutely on top, but there's still a little bit of drama, isn't there, Sam? England amongst the commentary team. First off, we'd had an absolute nightmare. Now, the stadium in Kandy, unlike some of the other stadiums in Sri Lanka, which, you know, could probably do with a little bit of a lick of the paint, they've got plenty of character to them, don't get me wrong. But Kandy is a modern stadium. It's in a picturesque setting, a beautiful city. But we did encounter some problems. The commentary booth that we had wasn't quite big enough for our needs. And it did take me 2 days to get them to open the door to the commentary booth next door, even though nobody was using it. But that that wasn't the only problems we faced, was it?
No, it wasn't. on doors, by the way, it's incredible on these tours how many doors are just locked. You can't get into these doors. It's incredible. But yeah, I always found as assistant producer, one of my more challenging roles was getting talent, shall we say, into certain positions they should be in. I always thought one of the worst jobs was getting them from the commentary box onto the outfield. There was always moans about that. But this time we had problems with lunch. Normally, we're very fortunate we get food for us and we don't have to walk very far for food. But I think on day one and day two, we had to walk to the other side of the ground to get our lunch. I told Gareth Batty about this. Bats, mate, you're going to have to get food over there. No problems at all. Off he goes. Matt Pryor, Jared, Manners, everyone else. Food, other side of the ground. No problems at all. I then come to Darren Goff. And I deliver the news to the big man that he's got to walk about 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, to get nice cooked food for him. And of course, as you can imagine, he wasn't best pleased that he had to walk. But what he was moaning about wasn't necessarily the walk. It was the fact that he thought he was going to get spotted by everyone. You know, it'd be mayhem. People coming up to him asking for pictures, and it'd be too much for him to handle. So I had to kind of walk with him, escort him, shall we say, across the grass bank to the other side of the ground. I tell you, two people came up to him and shook his hand. That was it. And there must have been about, you know, thousands of people on the grass bank. No one even noticed him apart from two old England fans. And that was it. But oh my, it's one of those, you don't hear the end of it, do you? Like, go for dinner that night and he mentions it. Oh, Sam, make sure we don't have lunch over there somewhere. He doesn't let it go, does he? And you know, look, we're very fortunate getting paid to be there. But oh, that walk, 5 minutes of coffee in my ear moaning, unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, you need lockdown extended for another 4 months, because next time you go in the office, he's going to have your badge.
Do you know what? I don't think he listens to TalkSport 2, so I think I'll be all right.
I'm going to ring him and tell him.
Oh, no, yeah.
Sam, what about the bet that you had with Matt Pryor, talking about food?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was quite fat then. I have lost quite a lot of weight now, but I was a big guy. We had about 5 weeks in between the end of Sri Lanka and the beginning of the West Indies tour, the test series kicked off the West Indies tour. And Matt, all he went on about was running and cycling and losing weight. And yeah, he challenged me to this bet. He said, who can lose more weight in between tours? And I just thought, I know Matt's a professional sportsman and he's very on it, but I had so much weight to lose. I thought, I'm going to take him up on it. I could do him here. Like, I know he's going to work hard, but if I put my mind to it, I could definitely lose more weight than him. And the winner, or the loser, I should say, had to pay for another one in the Caribbean. What was the restaurant called? Do you want to remind me of the restaurant in the Caribbean?
Lone Star,
which is a very, very posh restaurant, very well known, very high market, high prices. And I took him on who could lose more weight in the 5 weeks. And to cut a long story short, no surprise, I got beat. I lost. And I tried to put it through expenses, didn't get through, but I had to buy Massey Pryor a steak in Lone Star. Thankfully, he wasn't drinking because he was on a health kick. Otherwise, it would have been really expensive. But that's the last time I'm going to bet any sportsman any bet when it comes to physical activity.
What about, well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the train journey in a minute, but England wrapping up victory. I'll tell you one other thing about Matt Pryor. I won't say who it is, but one of our commentary team, midway through this test match, said it would be was essentially hoping England lost. And the rationale was that they'd lose the second test match. It'll be one apiece. Then we go to Colombo and everything's still on the line. And Matt Pryor's face and reaction when he heard that, he was like, what? You want England to lose? It kind of justified every bit of anger that he had had as a player towards the press box. And the commentator in question was like, oh, no, I still want England to win. I just think the drama would be better. Matt was having none of it.
I wonder who that commentator was.
Anyway, England did wrap up victory. It was another 4 wickets for Moeen Ali. They won the match and the series. Let's hear how that happened on TalkSport 2.
Here's Jack Leach to bowl to... push Bakamara, yeah! And is that it? Is that it? Has he chipped it straight back, or is it a bump ball? The umpires are coming together to talk. Well, we're about to see the signal made, and you're about to hear the word out. The news from Palakkali is that Joe Root's team have beaten Sri Lanka. by 57 runs. They've taken the series 2-0 with one to play.
So England go 2-0 up with one to play. And it just gave us a day out in Candy, didn't it? We had another day off. And if memory serves, we used that time doing for one day what Neil Manthorpe does every day. And that is run for about 2 hours. Can you remember that run around Candy Lake, Bats? Me, you and Neil Manthorpe. Fast forward to the West Indies and Neil Manthorpe's running around with those, I think they're things you put around your ankles when you go deep sea diving to keep you on the ground. On the ground. And he's running around that polo field at the bottom of Jodie Kidd's house. Neil Manthorpe, give the listeners a bit of an idea about what it's like to tour with Neil Manthorpe.
Well, when it's not cricket time, the hardest thing is finding him, because he's generally off running or trekking or exploring or just doing something, whether it be one of his articles he's doing. But to put it in perspective, he doesn't do marathons. He does this thing called ultras, which is in South Africa. It's a big South African thing. And ultras are basically like 90 k's, I believe. Not just your 25 miles or whatever. It's like 90. It's like in the extreme heat, it's kind of like, you know, a bit mental, really. But he is a phenomenal runner. And it's the thing that he does to keep himself sane when it's touring. You know, it sounds all glamorous being in Sri Lanka for 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever. And it is to a massive degree. But we forget 2 months is a long time away from family, friends and a normal sort of existence. And that's his way of sort of dealing with that. So it's not just players that do it. You know, there are people that follow the teams around and have their coping mechanism as well. And his, for a huge number of years, has been this running. And wow, does he... I've tried doing it a couple of times with him for his extended stuff. And it's like 2-3 hours he'll zip off for. And I'm like, give me an hour. I can knock out my 10, 15 Ks, whatever, no problem. But as soon as you're getting into the 15, 20, 25, I was like, wow, this is just all getting a bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, his day would be he'd run in the morning, go and do a test match, and then would write in the evening. He literally was nonstop for 18 hours of the day. But I think as a commentator, I think one of the best around in terms of like painting a picture, setting the scene, his knowledge as well, even just talking to him on the bus. I mean, he's covered cricket, South African cricket for 20, 25 years. His knowledge of the game is excellent. And also, I think we'll all agree, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet, ever.
I'll go with that. A real character. And as you say, he's been touring for 25 years and he's worked out a way to make it work for him. Because, you know, you talk about the stress and the strains of being apart from family and all that kind of stuff. And you're absolutely right. But it's the health side of things as well. If you're sitting there, I used to have one of those Fitbits. And, you know, on a normal day, you can walk around and your normal day, you will walk 10,000 paces. But what I notice is one of the days that I was reporting for TalkSport on the cricket, I was sitting down for 8 hours. It's about health, it's physical health, mental health. And it was a testing tour, but Manners was always the guiding light, wasn't he? Let's have a little chat about that train journey, though, because we decided to forego the bus for the journey from Candy to back to Colombo. Instead, we were going to take the Rattler. It was how long was the train journey? It was about however long it was, 4 hours or so.
4 hours.
From the centre of Sri Lanka. And essentially, you're coming down from mountainous terrain back to the coast or near the coast. And so we're all sitting in here. We couldn't get first class tickets, of course. So we're sitting in second class, but it was fine. Absolutely fine. We're all sitting there. There's myself on the right and there's you, Bats, and Matt Pryor on the left. Now, this train was hugging the mountain. So I was on the right, and if I looked out the right, and I refused to look anywhere other than out the window to the right, there was basically rock face, probably about a foot from my face. But it was a slightly different view from your side of things, wasn't it? And it was a little bit of an unexpected view, if the shrieks and yells are anything to go by, when suddenly foliage and trees made way for expanse.
Yeah, I mean, heights are not my thing. And I think to say it was hugging the mountain is a bit of an over-exaggeration. It was tiptoeing teetering on literally a line this wide. And from my window, if you looked, you could see it looked like about a mile down to the bottom.
Oh.
I mean, the views were amazing if you could take out that huge drop that, you know, I, as much as I love Sri Lanka, you know, I'm not sure I trust certain aspects of travel, shall we say. And I was fractionally worried for the first sort of three or four occasions that that happened. And then literally, there was a bit about halfway through the journey where we were in dense jungle and it opened up again. And we were in between carriages, you know, and the windows open fully and we were sort of leaning out and this sort of thing. And it opened out fully. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't actually that scared of heights. And I felt like Michael Palin. I thought I had my khaki clothes on. I was traveling around the world doing like a travel documentary. And it was just absolutely amazing. The whole journey through the mountains and then to come out the other end. There was a big debate whether we should do it, shouldn't do it. And I remember Goffey saying, don't be stupid, you shouldn't be doing it. It's stupid, it's not safe, and blah, blah, blah. It was arguably top three things we did in Sri Lanka. It was brilliant.
Am I right in thinking, boys, that did Andrew McKenna and the producer, Sal, did they travel via, was it a special chartered plane or...
Helicopter.
Not with the England team, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, they went on a helicopter to the north of the island where there'd been some mines cleared. And then they flew on to Colombo. And you're right, Goffey didn't Nico.
He had a special driver, didn't he?
Nico took our driver and didn't Butch and Goffey. They were in a cab that took 6 hours to get there or something.
Yeah.
Why would you rather a cab than a beautiful journey, scenic route like we did?
Well, they had to transport their golf clubs, didn't they?
That was it.
Plenty more to talk about the Cricket Collective. We are going to talk about the third test. We're going to talk about the one real moment that Bats did have a sense of humour failure. And we're going to talk about the worst commentary box in history. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Here's Jack Leach to bowl to Pushpa Kamara. And is that it? Is that it? Has he chipped it straight back? Or is it a bump ball? The umpires are coming together to talk. And we're about to see the signal made and you're about to hear the word out. The news from Palakkali is that Joe Root's team have beaten Sri Lanka by 57 runs. They've taken the series 2-0 with one to play and they've done it in some style.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Sam Elland and Gareth Batty. Bats, the man who we've heard pretty much puts up with anything and does it with a smile. Okay, Bats, be totally honest here. Were you smiling on our arrival back to Colombo? Can you remember what was occurring that evening? It was an event at the Shangri-La Hotel. And it was a celebration of playing for England. And everyone who had ever played for England, who was in Sri Lanka, was invited along to this evening. It was a quiz. It was drinks. It was basically you guys, you know, celebrating your achievements. But unfortunately, your clothing, suitable clothing, was at our place in Colombo. And we hit the worst traffic that we'd ever encountered until we actually tried to get out of Colombo for our flight. And it meant that you had to borrow some clothing to attend this black tie event.
Yeah, I think black tie is maybe a bit of an over-exaggeration. But I'd been in communications and it was all happening and we were coming via our place so I could get my luggage because there was an event. It wasn't me being precious. It was,
No.
I'd had the clothes on for all day and it was a bit of a mess. We'd been on the train and we'd been running around and messing about. So it was basically board shorts and a t-shirt that was very scraggy, to be fair. And I needed something just a little bit more, just a pair of jeans and some kind of a reasonable t-shirt or something with a collar. And anyway, it got bounced around and I think it ended up, somebody was being a bit precious that they needed their bags and blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, I didn't get any. So I had to go via Matty's accommodation to grab something to borrow. And Matty, from his playing days, he was always very, very, very strong. And you know, relatively relatively good shape. But as he's retired, he just put a little bit on, and he was sort of worried about this aspect. And I had to go try on some of his stuff, and I was like I look like Snoopy, you know that character in Snoopy that's got the clothes dragging on the floor and stuff, because I'm only short as well. But I was still, I'm still sort of playing, and I tried to be careful with keeping myself in some sort of nick. So I turned up to this event. It's the sort of thing that's not really my thing anyway, because it's kind of like, look, you know, you're intruding into the England environment, and it should be, you know, closed doors and not really allowed in and all this sort of, and I'm big on all that sort of thing. So I was kind of like a little bit, anyway. So I turned up looking like Mr. Ragtag, just dragged off the street, and their boys were taking the mick, and it actually made it made the event a bit easier for me, and the jokes were flown at me a little bit more rather than me intruding, which felt a bit more like it should be.
Well, there was another memorable moment on that tour that took place in Colombo. I think it was probably, in some ways, it might even be my favourite memory of the entire, of all of our tours, actually. It may be number one up there, but there are a lot of amazing memories. It was the TalkSport versus Barmy Army cricket game. You remember? You played bats, Goffey played, Pryor played, Nico played. It was such a brilliant, brilliant day. And a lovely little cricket ground as well. Colombo has got a lot of amazing little cricket grounds.
Now, yeah, I mean, I think it took some convincing, didn't it, to get, I think, in particular, Goffey to play. But I think when he heard that Nico was playing, he couldn't get out of it. But it was a great thing to do. I mean, I know that, I think for me, I mean, to share a cricket pitch with the likes of Goffey and Bats and Matty, was something. No, I mean it. I know that we had such a fun afternoon, having a right good laugh. I think for the Barmy Army as well to come up against, you know, former England cricketers was brilliant. Mm. And it was just really, really good fun. I remember, John, you had a Comrex, which is a piece of radio equipment on you, and you were doing hits live back into TalkSport, doing live updates. I think we had a drink after it. It was, I think you're right, John, one of my favourite memories, just playing a game of cricket in the sun, having a beer after. It was really, really good fun. I remember in particular, Bats, having a really good laugh with you. I think some of my fielding didn't go down too well, did it, with the TalkSport team. Some of my lazy fielding, but memories that I'll cherish forever.
Yeah, you let the thing made the odd mistake. It was the fact if it went past you, you didn't chase it. And I was that's not how we do it.
Conserving Bats. Energy.
Bats, that is not what was wrong. I was bowling really, you know, my canny non-turning off spin from quite a high, good height.
The only bowler does the move, just stands there and throws it.
Cramping the batsman for room, you know, messing with his mind. So then I'm just about to close out what was going to be a pivotal over in the match, real tight affair. We went on to lose the match, by the way, by one run. And I come so close to a leg before decision. The batsman just jamming his bat down inside half of the bat, seeing the ball squirt to deep backward square leg. It's one run, possibly two runs. No more than two.
It was three.
I'd say a decent fielder would probably have just about managed to keep them to one. The team looks up. Who's fielding on the boundary? It's Sam Ellard. And he's got a chair. And he's sitting down in the outfield on a chair.
I'd forgotten about this.
And then he's not even watching. He's talking to somebody, probably asking them to get him a drink or a hot dog. And suddenly, the ball's spurting to the boundary. By the time he realises it's too late to get the ball goes for four. And we lose the game by one run.
Two things before, I'm sure Bats is gonna give me some stick. Number one, momentarily before that, I'd saved two vital runs. I did a long chase down to the boundary, slid on the ropes. I think I did that on two occasions back to back. So I just saved our team. Potentially,
yeah, you did what you meant to do. Well done. Yeah, that's brilliant. Well done.
Yeah. I saved four pivotal runs. So apologies that I conceded one extra run. Secondly, why didn't anyone shout? Someone should have said, Sam, the ball's got... No, they didn't. No,
that's why you looked up.
In fact, I'll tell you what was said, and I can't actually say it properly, but it was something like, Sam, get off your...
Wow. Listen, you have to remember it was very hot. I'd just done two long chases. I needed a breather. It was unlucky that the ball actually come to me for a third time.
I'll tell you what.
Your excuse is a bit like a bowler saying, look, I took a wicket, so what's the issue with me not bowling the rest of my over?
You're right.
Well, do you know what? You should have. Why weren't you on the boundary bats? You were standing. I think you were standing at Slipple game, weren't you?
Oh yes, mate. Well done. basically, the thing I remember most from that game was about halfway through. Bearing in mind, Nico had opened the batting, faced 30 balls and got one run, done nothing, and then we got a couple of wickets and we were back into it. And I wanted to bowl seamers because I've spent 20 odd years bowling spin. I was like, I'm not bowling spin today. I want to bowl some seamers. I want to enjoy myself. You know, that was the whole point of it, having a good day and enjoying ourselves. And Nico came up to me halfway through and said, Bats, you're one of the most economical bowlers in the country. We need you to come on now. And I was like, really? I'll come on, but I'm bowling seamers. He's like, no, come on, we can win it from here. And he was trying to give me this short haul captain's boot from back in the day. And I was like, I'm sorry, pal. I literally want to play the game, yes, and I'll do my best, but I'm going to bowl seamers. And if we lose, we lose. I'm still going to have that beer with everybody else and that burger because that's why we're here. And I'm not bowling spin. And he would try to talk me into it for 10 minutes.
I didn't know that. That's brilliant.
Oh, mate, I was like, come on. You've shown no interest the whole game. And now there's a chance of winning. You've turned into the best captain that ever walked on the planet.
Did you get any runs, Bats?
Yeah, 30-odd or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I think you went quite well, didn't you? I think you batted better than you bowled.
Yeah, I bowled fast though, didn't I? I was fast. I know I was fast.
Rapid.
All of which brings us to the end of this podcast, Following On podcast. Thanks to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. But part two of our watch along, our look back at Sri Lanka 2018 with myself, John Norman, Gareth Batty and Sam Ellard will be released as a podcast in the next 24 hours. So you can listen, subscribe, download at Acast, iTunes or on Spotify. But thanks for listening to the Cricket Collective.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.